We're continuing in the series of hard sayings of Jesus, and it seems like we have a lot of these episodes.
Who knew?
Because there's a lot.
Who knew Jesus said so many hard things?
I know. I thought it was all just love your neighbor and stuff.
I think we've got two more in the hopper. That's about it.
I'm sure we could find a few more that are difficult. I mean, the Pharisees always thought he had hard sayings. They never understood what he was talking about. So, but today we're looking at the faith of a mustard seed.
Yeah.
Where's Jesus going with this?
Well, I think that the reason I think this is hard is that sometimes I think when people read this, there's automatically a sense of guilt. Like, I must not have enough faith.
Mm, yeah.
And so I wanted to address that. I think that's why it's hard. It's not hard to understand. I
mean, at face value, it makes sense.
We understand the figurative language that Jesus is using. And if you're not familiar with it, this is what Jesus says. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out or cast the demon out?" And he said to them, "Because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you."
So he takes a tiny, tiny little seed.
I mean, it's...
And then he compares it to this majestic, giant mountain.
Yes. So, you know, it's funny because there's a lot of layers to the story. Let me give the context to what is said here. Because this comes at the end of a narrative by which Jesus and the three inner circle, Peter, James, and John, go up on this hilltop, and it's the transfiguration of Jesus.
Okay.
And we're all familiar with that story, and Moses and Elijah show up, and it's a very significant point in Jesus' ministry, so that a few of his disciples get to see the fullness of who he is and his glory. But when he comes back down the mountain with the three disciples, there's a commotion. There's people arguing, fighting, and there's a man who's brought his son to the disciples. And we know from Matthew chapter 10 that Jesus already gave his disciples the ability and the authority to cast out demons. And so when this man brings his son to be delivered, the disciples can't do it. And so I can't imagine the scene, the chaos. Mark gives a couple more details than Matthew does, but the reality is when Jesus comes down, he asks the Father, you know, what's going on? And he's been like this since a child. He throws himself into the fire. And, the Father has this issue of belief and unbelief. And then Jesus casts out the demon. And afterwards, that's when it says the disciples came to him privately and said, "Why couldn't we do this? Like, there's demons we've cast out in the past. Why couldn't we do this one?" And that's when he says, "You have to have, you had little faith." And so, there's another point, other textual variants may say you have to do this with prayer and fasting. That's another variant of this passage. But the reality is he's talking about this idea of you didn't have enough faith to do this. And we see this in times in Jesus' ministry, for example, in his own hometown. It says that he performed very little miracles or few miracles because of the lack of faith. We see a great show of faith, people from like the centurion, right? Where he just says, "Jesus, you just say the word and my servant will be healed." And he's like, "I've never seen faith." So there is an issue of faith that I think people, it's relating to how much God values that and honors that. But I think on the flip side is many times when we, as followers of Jesus, we might pray for things, we might desire God to do great things. And again, this is figurative language. If your faith is like a mustard seed is super small. It's one of the tiniest seeds ever, especially the Eastern mustard seed where they would have seen. But if you plant it, it grows one of the largest plants.
Yeah.
It's massive. And he uses this illustration to talk about the kingdom of God as well, as it starts small but can grow really big. And another passage of scripture. But the whole reality, the whole point of this teaching is the figurative picture of the mountain being whatever that issue is that you're looking at, that you feel like, man, that's impossible for us to overcome that. And Jesus says, you just need the faith of the mustard seed. Now, I think the challenge is there's been times in all of our lives where there has been a mountain and we have prayed and asked God to change something and it doesn't happen. And immediately, what's our thought?
No, I guess I don't have enough faith.
There's something wrong with me. Yeah. I don't have enough faith. And I think we just have to be very careful not to project on ourselves that why God didn't move the mountain is because there's a lack of faith. Could that be possible? Yes. We know that there is a relationship between faith and prayer. James chapter 1 talks about this. Don't ask for wisdom, and if you don't have faith, you know, don't expect that you'll get it. Hebrews chapter 11, the great faith chapter, says, without faith it is impossible to please God. Faith is important to God. I do think, though, there's a very fine variation here that I think we need to pay attention to, and that is this. There is a difference between putting your faith in prayer and putting your faith in God.
Mm.
Okay? And what I mean by that is there are times by which when we pray, we're putting our faith in the prayer. Like it's the prayer that's going to change something. And we're not really putting our faith in God. Like God, because the difference between putting your faith in prayer and putting your faith in God is this. When you put your faith in prayer, the expectation is I've got the weapon or I've got the tool by which I can accomplish this thing. When you're putting your faith in God, what you're saying is, God, you alone can do this. But I also know this, it's your will. Your will be done. And so there's all these kinds of things that I think we have to ask ourselves. You know, number one, am I putting my faith in prayer? Like, God, you have to do this because I'm praying. That's putting your faith in prayer, not in God.
Yeah. I think that's when we get caught up in the ask and you'll receive.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I asked, why am I not receiving?
Jesus many times gives almost like this guarantee that he's going to do something. And he always does do something. As I was studying this passage, you know, God gave me this thought that God, in faith, God moves mountains. But here's the thought that God gave me. Sometimes the mountain is us.
Hmm.
Okay, so sometimes there is a situation, there is a circumstance, there is a problem that you might be facing, whether it's financial, whether it's relationships, whether it's sin issues, whatever. It just feels like there's this mountain in my life. But many times there might be things that we're asking God to do, and God isn't gonna move the circumstances. He's not gonna change the situation immediately or off the bat. What he's looking to do is to change you. You might be the mountain, and so I think that's one of the things we have to really take a step back and look at and say, okay, number one, is my faith in prayer or is my faith in God? That's number one. Second thing is this, you might have a faith issue, right? There could be opportunities where you're like, I just don't think God can do that. And why do you think most people don't have a faith like that?
My gut is they haven't seen God move before.
Exactly. They haven't seen mountains moved. And because they haven't seen mountains moved, they don't believe that God can do it.
Yeah.
And so there's a couple things I think we can do when we find ourselves in a place where our faith is lacking. I'm not saying it all. I don't want to project that you have a faith problem. But if you do.
You could have situational faith problems.
You could have situational faith. That's a great way of putting it. You could have situational faith problems. You have problems where it's like, yeah, you have faith that God can do these big things, but these big things, no.
Yeah.
You can't do it. But a couple things I would say, if you really want to grow in your faith, number one, I would say read the narratives of the Bible over and over and over again. God is doing the impossible. God is changing people. He's defeating armies. He's rescuing people from situations, and it's all for his glory and his honor. But I think by reading the stories that are in Scripture, it should ignite something inside of us that says, we serve the same God. God can still do those kinds of things today. And we need to be reminded of that. So that's the first one. Read the narratives. Number two, we got to remember the resurrection.
Hmm.
There's no greater problem. There's no greater issue. There's no greater mountain that any of us have ever faced than the mountain that Jesus faced, and that is death. And the fact of the resurrection shows us that truly nothing is impossible for God. God is in the business of resurrection. He's in the business of making all things new. And that's what we have to hold on to in times where our faith is wavering. No. I serve a God who resurrects the dead. There's no greater mountain that can ever be moved than the resurrection of the dead. And so that's number two. And then the third one is yield to his will. sometimes our faith is when God says no or wait, that we have to, the faith that's growing in us is a faith in trusting him that he knows better than I do. That mountain might be moved, but it's going to be moved in a different way. Hmm. Maybe God's going to move that mountain stone by stone. Sometimes God moves things in an instant, right? So God sometimes brings incredible movement and transformation in a moment, but sometimes God does things over time. So I just think that we have to yield our will to God's. And when we do that, our faith will grow. So I think those are things I think we need to remember when Jesus is saying this. You got to have faith of the mustard seed. It's, what is the faith in? Is it in prayer or is it in God?
I like that a lot, because that goes back to the whole thought of the heaven without God there.
Right.
Would you still want it?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So do I want heaven or do I want this relationship with God?
Yes.
So I love that point that you're making, yeah, that it's our faith in the prayer, in, yeah, prayer or in God.
Yeah. And then next, look at your faith. And if your faith is wavering or if it's situational, like you brought up, then say, okay, God, show me how to have faith. Read the scriptures, reflect on the resurrection, understand that there might be a work, like you said, like I said before, the mountain might be me that needs to be moved.
Yeah.
And so, but here's what I would say. Don't let televangelists tell you how to interpret this verse, right?
How do they, well, for those that don't listen or haven't heard, how would they tell you how to interpret this verse?
So, you know, the whole idea is, they'll use this idea of giving money, planting, sowing a seed and reaping great, great benefits. If you haven't, and there's just preachers on television that say, if you don't have that car that you want, if you don't have that job you want, it's just because you don't believe big enough. If you're still sick, it's because you don't believe it. And that's a lie from the pit of hell.
Yeah.
Even in the great, I know we've brought up this passage before, Dan and I have, we've talked about this, but even in the great chapter of faith in Hebrews 11, there are times where it says, yeah, by faith, people, overthrew armies and raised the dead and shut the mouths of lions. But then it says, but some were sawn in two. Hmm. You know, sometimes the faith doesn't have the grand story, but there's another kind of faith that's perseverance, that's in nature, that we have to ask ourselves, is that what God is teaching us? Yeah. So here's what I would say. Don't read this passage and automatically go, well, if I'm not seeing God work and move in these ways, I just must really be a horrible faith person. And all of a sudden you start beating yourself up and thinking negative thoughts about yourself. And I can't get it right. I think that's the wrong mentality. I think that's the wrong attitude. I think what God is saying is anyone can have the faith of a mustard seed. Anyone can. And you just, it's this aspect of, even if I look at the disciples in the situation, the context, I'm sure, imagine you're there in that moment. And I've got, this father brings this son, and maybe Bartholomew's like, all right, I got this.
And, I did the last one. I'm going to get this one again.
Let me do this. And he fails, right? And then Judas. I can imagine the nine that were down there.
I'm sure they had like a, what's not working this time?
Right.
Why are we not able?
And I'm sure all nine of them are like, whoa, let me do that. I'm sure I can just imagine this, right? That all nine of them are trying to do this and they can't do
sure
it.
The dad was like, can I speak to your manager, please?
Yeah. And after every single one, I just wonder, how much doubt crept into the minds of those disciples.
Oh, yeah.
The moment that one couldn't and the next one couldn't, they couldn't. I don't know if it was, well, let me try it, but all of a sudden there's a seed of doubt, maybe I can't either. But doubt started creeping in. And when doubt starts creeping in, faith can't increase when doubt creeps in. And you try to put yourself in that human position to say, why did they have little faith? They saw this crack or this chink in the armor of what they saw, what they were expecting, and it just shook them. And Jesus had to come down and remind them again who was really in charge.
Yeah, and that makes me think about that. We can do and say things in the name of Jesus and still not have the faith to actually accomplish it.
Absolutely.
And that's what that feels like to me.
Yeah, exactly.
They were just trying, at this point, they were going on their own accord. And they were using probably their own power to try and make these things happen that only can be accomplished through Jesus.
That's right. And that's what we do the same We should do the same thing today. So anyways, yeah, I think, can all of us grow in faith? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Can all of us make sure that you know, if we don't have a story of God moving mountains, just keep, you know, don't stop believing, like Journey would say. God can still do it.
In the book, 30 Days of Prayer, I cannot remember the author. Mm-hmm. You would be able to probably tell me. He mentions about us when we do pray and we do ask for things that a lot of times we stop before God does answer us.
Mm.
We'll pray for something for like 3 days and then God hasn't moved the mountain, so to speak, right. And then we just quit.
Right.
So that to me also feels like kind of a lack of faith, that if I keep persevering and I keep pursuing and I keep asking until I get this firm response,
yeah.
Don't give up. Don't stop.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, my dad has this illustration of how God ordains prayer. And he has a sermon on prayer, and it's really good. But a lot of times what he says is we have to believe that God ordains prayer to accomplish his work. We know that prayer accomplishes the will of God. And again, that is a mystery at the highest level.
Yes.
Because there's a sovereignty piece and there's a man's action piece that I don't understand the fullness of what it works, of how it all works. But let's just say God has ordained 100 prayers for this one. Let's just say for Joe to accept Jesus. And, you know, the first guy prays 10 times and he's like, oh, it's not happening. Another guy prays, you know, 85 times and he's just like, I'm just not seeing it. And so the third guy that starts praying for Joe prays 5 times and Joe accepts Christ. Now, what were the prayers that were the most effective? All of them.
Yeah.
The problem is our perspective about prayer and what it accomplishes is so limited. We don't see behind the veil of what our prayers are really doing. And I just think I've loved that illustration that my dad gives, because the person who prays 5 times is like, man, prayer works.
Yeah, exactly.
But prayer has worked for all 3 of those guys that prayed for Joe. Prayer works. All of them had a piece and a part of Joe's coming to know Jesus. And sometimes that might be our own experience.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, Ben, I've enjoyed this episode. I don't think I introduced it to the beginning, so if you haven't, we just dove right into
it.
So,
sometimes we do that.
That was Ben Rudolph, pastor at Life Fellowship. I'm Britt Nipper, Life Talks producer. Don't let an unmoved mountain shake your faith. Don't Amen. Let it totally rock you, so to speak. Keep praying. Keep focusing on God. As Ben said earlier, dig into the scriptures and see how God has moved and how he has worked through his people throughout history. That's the same God we serve today. Thank you for joining us on another episode of Life Talks, and we'll catch you next time.
You've been listening to Life Talks. Be sure to hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. Share this podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to let your friends and family know about Life Talks. We'd love to hear from you as well. So leave a comment and let us know your thoughts on this episode or any other topics we've discussed. Life Talks is a ministry of Life Fellowship in Cornelius, North Carolina. For more information on Life Talks or Life Fellowship, visit lifecharlotte.com, or you can find us on Facebook at Life Fellowship Charlotte.